life. There are 52 words Mary Baker Eddy uses in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures that relate to the synonymous term life. And there are 15 that relate to the opposite of what life represents. Laying down the two-word term certainly does cover a lot of territory, because that connects to the opposite words such as heredity, age, mortality, mortal, physiology. Death, grave. Covers a lot of them. Basically, what we need to do to have a productive, infinite progression, which then gives us concrete being, is to constantly lay down the mortal concept, replacing it with the spiritual, the immortal. Of course, one of the positive words is immortal and immortality. In everything that one thinks, says, and does, if a filter is used before it has an opportunity to enter consciousness, in other words, at the onset of the suggestion, that is the time, the moment, when one needs to filter out anything that is unlike God, which means all sense of these kinds of terms that were mentioned as opposites. The words mentioned are primarily the main words to give enough description and understanding about what the synonymous term really means, but in essence, the entire dictionary of words will fall into these seven categories. And the four, which are the city of God, the city four square, which is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. So either a term that is being used is a positive term for one of these 11, or it is the opposite, which means that it is a reminder to replace it for the positive in our daily activities. And of course, the best time to do that is when it first comes to thought. The filtering needs to be done immediately. Anything new comes to thought. The sorting is a very, very important function. And of course, mind comes into play on that, because mind represents intelligence and wisdom and knowing. And of course, action is assigned to mind and creative activity. So before we bring it forth with action, we want to make sure the creative activity is an intelligent, knowing, and wise one, and is from really the immortal, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, and not from a suggestion of mortal mind. One must realize that mortal mind cannot be improved, because mortal mind is a mistake. It is a view that is incorrect. It must be replaced It cannot be improved. A view can be improved, but mortal mind itself or matter or anything along that line cannot be improved. They have to be replaced. They are a mistake in translation. 2 plus 3 is 5. It cannot be improved if it is deemed to be less than 5. If it is thought to be anything other than 5, that thought must be replaced. It can't be changed to get closer. It has to be replaced with the truth, with the fact. The same with everything in our life. If it is not godlike, it must be replaced. Creator is a term that is used with life. Now, the creative ability is from mind, for it has to begin with mind. Mind turns on the light. Mind gives the initial idea, the enlightenment. And all we have to do is make sure that it is coming from the real mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, and not from the fake mind, which is termed mortal mind. And Mary Baker Eddy terms that an oxymoron because she says that since mind is immortal, there can be no mortal mind because mind is immortal and therefore mortal is the opposite of immortality. So it's an oxymoron. It's like saying this is black-white. Something might be gray, which is a combination of black and white, but there is no such thing as black-white. You can have something that has squares, some squares white, some squares black. Or you could mix them and have gray, but there is no color that is black-white. In other words, the opposites is just a falsity in language. It's a misstatement. It's a statement that can never be true. A mortal, immortal mind can never be true. We cannot mix truth with error. We have to think about spirit. Spirit is the only substance, and spirit is purity. Spirit is flawless. So we cannot have a flawed spirit. It's either pure or it's not spirit. And if it's not spirit, it is a false view of the reality. Because an unreality is not real. An unreality cannot exist. It can be believed to exist. Just like the word fear is false evidence appearing real. That's a term that is just commonly used for what fear is. The same with any vision, any idea, any thought. It is either pure or it is unreal. Life is either real life or it is a facade. Kurt Russell was asked about his experience in movies and his experience in real life. And he said, well, real life is what we live. He said, a movie is a fantasy. It's strictly fantasy. That's what life is if it is not a pure life, a spiritual life. It is an incorrect view of reality. Earth is a term that relates to life. Eternal Exaltation. Exaltation is a good one. That means we need to elevate our thought to the reality, as opposed to struggling with something that is unreal. Dr. Einstein indicated that you cannot solve a problem if you're working on the same level as the problem. He was asked if he had 1 hour to solve a problem that meant the difference between life and death, how would he allocate his time? And he said, I would use 55 minutes to figure out the right question. And then I'd devote 5 minutes to solving the problem. Exposing the error is a very important function, which many people don't realize the value of. Mary Baker Eddy says, we cannot heal unless we identify the problem and scientifically approach it by stating the counterfact after the problem has been exposed. So number one, we have to do the analysis to figure out what the problem is. We have to expose it. We have to explain the reason why it is not valid and that it is false, it is a mistake, it is error, it's an incorrect view. And then we have to make sure we know what the correct view is. Frederick Rawson wrote a book that is an encyclopedia of 1,315 ailments, all kinds, not just a bodily ailment, but everything, you know, relationships, events, whatever. And in each case, he states what the counterfact is. And that's what Mary Baker Eddy is talking about. We have to expose it. And he indicates, in many cases, what the belief is about the problem. And then he gives the counterfact. And he says, just state right out, when you know what it is, what the problem is, that it is not true. Just say there is no, and then whatever it is. And then because man is spiritual, for example, man reflects the perfection of God. And then whatever the opposite is that the problem seems to be, you know, he specifically states the truth, which is the spiritual view of the real function. So if you're speaking about a function of some kind of a bodily part or organ or whatever, then he has done the research to determine what the real function is, and he's done the treatment to have revealed to him what the truth is that is the reverse of what the problem is presenting itself to be. So you are equipped basically with the words that are a description of the analysis of the problem and what the claim seems to be, and you're equipped with the truth of the real function, the spiritual function of what that particular item is supposed to be doing. Very interesting research, and it's obviously effective because he was one of the greatest healers in Christian Science. He's been gone for 100 years, but he certainly did have wonderful healings, everything you can imagine. once the problem has been properly analyzed, and we must remember that because error is very deceptive, there's a great chance that we don't know the problem. We may be able to detect the symptom, but that may be totally different than the problem. Mary Baker Eddy states that if we let anything bother us, it will go to the weakest part of our body. And again, keep in mind, body is everything about our experience. Not just a physical thing that we look at in a mirror, but it's everything about our total life. You know, our if we're married, our wife, our family, if we have children, business, our home, our relationships, everything. Everything we do, every activity we are involved in, every thought, every speech, it's all part of our body because it's all a projection of consciousness. What we see is what we be, and what we have in thought is what we project as our experience. Jesus saw the perfect man, where others saw a sinning mortal man. The one blind man he saw, the disciples said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents?" You know, he was blind from birth. And Jesus said, "Neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the glory of God may be manifest in him." In other words, it's an opportunity to heal if we see something like that, and don't try to point the blame on an individual such as a parent in this example. And of course, he didn't view an individual the way other people were viewing, even in death. Tabitha, young girl, he said, "She sleepeth." And they said, "Well, she's been dead." "He sleepeth. She sleepeth." He didn't believe she had ever died, or he couldn't have raised her from the dead. He believed that her life was in God. Mr. Winslow is a practitioner who brought someone back to life. That's in one of his articles. He wrote something over 100, I think 120 or 130 articles, and they've been compiled into 4 volumes, which he did. He named them Let God Do It, and God Can Do It, and God Will Do It, and God Is Doing It, I believe, are the 4 titles. Anyway, they're very short, you know, 3 or 4 words to the title. And each one is comprised of 30 or so articles. Very, very excellent work and results. He was not expected to live as a young man. He came from a well-to-do family, and his father had set him up with all the contacts he needed to build a very successful career. He decided to be a prodigal son. He wasted the opportunity to have a successful career and a successful business. Threw it away. Pilfered everything, including his health. was not expected to live. Because of the money in the family, they could go to the best physicians that they had in those days. That was also about 100 years ago, like Mr. Rawson, back in the early 1900s to maybe 1920 or so. And Mr. Winslow, this happened to him, I believe, around 1920 or 25. That was the beginning of his career. And he was in practice for, I think, 35 years, so probably up until, 1950 or so. So he heard about a Christian Science practitioner, and he said, I have nothing to lose. He didn't know anything about it. He didn't have any faith in it, confidence, or anything else. But he ended up being healed. And he made the decision after that that's what he was going to do as a profession. Very successful. Wonderful writer. You will gain a lot by reading his articles. Everything is indexed, easy to find. Everything is on the website. So life, the words, they're supplied for you in print form and also in a video or audio, I mean. So habitual is one of the words for life. And it's a strange thing how the human mind operates. It accepts new things, but once it does, it rejects accepting the idea that it was a mistake and that it's false. The ego operates to preserve what is believed to be true, even though it's proven to be false. And a lot of this happens unconsciously. Debbie Klingbeil did some excellent work in this regard. She did some research on exactly how the human mind operates. And it was very revealing things that she discovered. The defense mechanism that is totally unconscious, that is built into the so-called human brain, makes it very difficult to overcome an existing belief. We don't even know that we're resisting it or why. And it's because it is unconsciously operating to defeat progress. Roger Bannister had this to overcome. He was the first athlete to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Because no one had ever done it before, there was a mental barrier in the profession of running, professional running. And everybody just strove to get to down to 4 minutes, knowing they could never break 4 minutes. Their knowing was based on a falsity, the falsity that there's a limitation. The same with the 10-second 100-yard dash. Look at the flying. Mr. Wright flew from the U.S. to Paris. Never been done before. He had every obstacle in the book to overcome. Every trouble you can think of confronted him in preparing. let alone the flight. And when he did it, boy, he had really a lot of things to deal with. He was the subject of jealousy. And then when he started talking about things such as overcoming limitation, he was really a target. He lost his son. His son was murdered. All of these things are working behind the scenes. We have to be like the roots of the redwood sequoia trees and bond together. We have to realize there's a network. Just like with the synonymous terms, they all work together. I mentioned a couple of things here where the intelligence of and wisdom and knowing of mind and the flawlessness of spirit, the system and structure of principle. We have to have structure in our life. We have to have a system in our life. Mary Baker Eddy says that the difference between success and failure, more than anything else, is how we use our moments. Moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. And it's not a mathematical measurement, because you can keep dividing. That's what they were doing when they were breaking down the atom. They just kept dividing. And they finally got down to where there was nothing there, and they realized that it was consciousness. It was really the vibration of energy. Quantum mechanics broke the lies about physics, the lies about matter being real, because it brought forth the concept that energy and not something opaque that was matter was what we were viewing. They researched it for 30 years, trying to figure out what it was they discovered. Everything is laying down the limitation that is brought upon humanity through fake news. One of the ways that evil operates is by creating something totally fake, fabricating it, and then handing it off to something that is totally a surprise that verifies it. And then the original thought says, well, here it is, it's been confirmed. This is, you know, this place says it's true. And so then people believe it, that it's true, even though it was a fabrication from the very beginning. When someone is successful, one of the first things that happens is that those that are jealous, or those that are trying to protect their own position, to maintain control or money or whatever it is, they accuse the innocent of what they're doing wrong, of what they themselves are doing that is evil. This is the way evil operates. It uses personality. Many times the person doesn't even realize that they're being used. They think that what they're doing is true, or they think it's the right thing to do. So we can't blame an individual, because then we're getting sucked into the same thing. We are using a false sense of soul, which is the senses, instead of the soul senses, which is spiritual senses. We're using material senses. We're letting emotion control us. very important word for life is individual. We must not get upset if we find someone else has a different view than we do. We might be totally convinced that we're right, but what someone else thinks about it is not our business. Everyone must work out their own salvation. Dale Carnegie says, be very careful about ever criticizing anybody, because tomorrow you might find out some different information and agree with them. So in other words, our goal is to strive to learn the truth and not be judging others. Judgment is not our duty. We don't have any opportunity to honestly judge. All judging must be done by mind. The incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. Not a person. Not a belief. We must rely on the intelligence of mind to show us the way. Don't worry about the way someone else is taking. Mary Baker Eddy said that we will be full-time busy and not have any time to spare if we just take care of our own consciousness. And remember, our life is a projection of our consciousness. What we see is what we be, what we are. Our thoughts produce our experience. Habitual. What are we going to make a habit of? Are we going to make a habit of having the right thoughts? And as mentioned before, habit is very often unconscious. We don't even realize it. In fact, this is what addiction is all about. Addiction is not realizing what you're doing. It's an automatic response. It's a habit. It doesn't matter whether it's overeating, whether it's alcohol, overexercising, worshiping one's own body or the body of someone else. Some people will go to a gym before they will eat. They'll give up eating before they give up going to the gym. Everyone has to work out their own salvation. What someone else is doing is not our business. Our schedule is our business. What we do with our moments, because once they are used, they are gone. So what are we going to use them for? Are they going to be productive? Are they going to be working on that infinite progression? What highway are we going to take? That's another term for the synonymous term of life, highway. What path are we going to take? Gratitude, that's a good one. That's part of life. Are we going to live a life of gratefulness, being grateful for all the beautiful things that we have? So many times we think we may have a problem and the solution is right in front of us. We might think there's a need and the solution is right there. But we're blind to it because we're not letting God do the directing. We've got this egotistical plan that it has to be a certain way. We have to cling to God, not to a personal opinion. We have to follow God and not try to tell God what to do. I believe the reason that Mary Baker Eddy put prayer as the first chapter in Science and Health is because it's so important to start out correctly. In fact, we're supposed to be praying without ceasing. And what is praying? Praying is living. Living. We are living prayer. Whatever we're thinking about, our thoughts, our consciousness, this is our life. We're living it, whether we are conscious of it or not. We might be totally unaware, but we're living our thoughts. Two different people can look at the same individual and have absolutely opposite opinions. Could be an ugly woman or an ugly, unsightly, drunk man that two different people are looking at. They could be two men looking at it, or a woman and a man, or two women, whatever. They could have absolutely different opinions of the individual. A person that is full of love might think about that individual as needing love. They could be obese, but they're not looking at that person as being obese. They're looking at that person as needing love, patience, tolerance, whatever. They may be escaping from a normal life because they don't know what to do. They're confused. They may think they're out of options. Someone that is really fostering love cannot say a sour thing about anyone under any circumstance, because they're always thinking about what does this person need and is there some way I can help them. Instead of criticizing them. Dr. Fluno, one of Mary Baker Eddy's direct students that received the CSD for doctorate degree from Mary Baker Eddy. Very few did, but he did. And he wrote a couple of things on criticism. Actually, I think it might be just one thing that is in two parts. But anyway, we have it as two audios. And boy, if you think you have a problem with criticism, that's certainly a wonderful thing to read. He really had a firm grasp of how to work with that one. Love, L-O-V-E, is a quality of life. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy has stated, love is life. We're living if we're loving. We're really living if we're loving. Are we going to love and really have a beautiful life? Are we going to find problems and focus on those? Are we going to carry the past around with us? I don't know of anyone that I've ever known or talked to or knew about. You can study successful people in any profession. Most of them have exposed problems that they've had. They had to overcome it in order to be successful. Everybody has had them. No one I know of is walking on water. I'm certainly not. So that means we all have problems. We all have something that we need to work out. Even Jesus was here 3 years working out his salvation. He faced all of these things. You know, when he was in the desert for 40 days, he had 3 major temptations. Look at King David. He saved a nation, and then he turned to be rotten. He fell in love with somebody he was looking at through binoculars and arranged for the husband of the woman to be on the front lines with a high probability of being killed. That's exactly what happened. We think about him as having the 150 Psalms. I think it's 150. Maybe it's a different number, but it's a large number. And we gain so much from it. He went through trials and tribulations. He had the old temptations of mortality. Everyone has things they have to work out of. That is what life is. Life is an opportunity to become more spiritual. We have the opportunities every day. The question is, what are we going to do with those opportunities? As Mary Baker Eddy says, how are we going to use the moments? We need to have intelligent, knowing, and wise decisions. We need to be creative. We need to have action. We can't be passive. Those are all from mind. We need to have purity in our life. Spirit, the only substance, also in addition to purity and flawlessness, includes transparency. Because if it's flawless, it's going to be transparent. And if it's going to be transparent and flawless, it's going to be reflective. We need to reflect our life. We need to reflect the goodness that we have in thought out to the world. It automatically happens. And the best way to do that in an impersonal way is be an example. Like the lighthouse. The purpose of a lighthouse, what is it? It's to be itself. It's to shine its light, to protect ships. We need to shine our light so that we improve the atmosphere of thought. We don't have to be talking to anybody. We can just be an example. I think some of the best parents in the world for children are the ones that don't focus on discipline to the tune of like being a military individual, but be an example and point out the advantages of being an example. Forget the negative. Forget the criticism. Just be an example. Be the lighthouse. Everyone is different. You might have 2 or 3 children or however many you have. That doesn't mean all of them are going to want to follow the parents' professions, whatever they are, whether it's being a homemaker for the mother or whether it's being a professional woman or the same with the father. Whatever his profession is, they may have no interest in it, or one of them may not, or all of them may not. Everyone is an individual. And we have to respect that. We have to support it in an impersonal way. But of course, as a child, we want to be expressing love with the tender, loving kindness. Use plenty of oil for lubricant, not have friction. An easy way to find out how love works is with an animal. If you have an animal from its birth, and if you give it plenty of TLC, that animal will conduct itself totally different than one that has been abused. You know, a kitty, a dog, even a horse. I've seen it with all three of those. Same with a person, a friend, a wife or husband, child. May take longer because of the animals not living so long. But it never hurts to be expressing the qualities of God, and it never helps to be absent of the expression of those qualities. So the qualities of all these other synonymous terms, I just mentioned the ones about mind and spirit and soul. I mentioned previously about the spiritual vision, the spiritual hearing. Are we looking for the good? There's a letter called The Secret that's attributed to Mary Baker Eddy. And it indicates that she allocates time several times a day to check her thoughts. What am I thinking about? What am I doing? Am I looking for the good in what I'm doing? Am I looking for the good in other people? Am I focusing just on perfection? She did it several times a day. We know that Daniel in the Bible prayed three times a day, even at the risk of being thrown in the lion's den, because that's what the penalty was for anyone that didn't worship the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at them. We must establish a standard in our life, and we don't have to be out there on a soapbox on a street corner and yelling it out, but we certainly need to be living it correctly and be that lighthouse. Because we're responsible to ourselves. Forget about being responsible to someone else. We need to establish a standard that we know is right. Our highest sense, that's the standard we have to establish. Everyone has skeletons in their closet. So don't worry about your skeletons. Obviously, Mary Baker Eddy has specifically stated, as a matter of fact, that we want to settle our accounts every day. Every day. We shouldn't go to bed with any kind of a sour thing going on in our life. I know somebody that was very successful in business, and he said the best advertising was having a satisfied customer. Didn't matter what it cost. You could take a loss, didn't matter. You wanted that person happy. Mr. Rawson says, our life should be devoted to making other people happy. Remember, he was that really successful practitioner that discovered retroactive healing, how to make the healing effective before the individual ever even came to him asking for assistance. He did hundreds of retroactive healings, hundreds. He's the one that wrote the encyclopedia. Encyclopedia on how to heal every ailment you can think of. We have to individualize it. We can't just read it. We can't just say the words. We have to understand what we're doing. In fact, even if a practitioner performs a healing, of course, the real performance is through truth, not through an individual, but if someone is healed and they have no idea what's going on, it will not have the lasting value as someone that is transformed and says, wow, there's something really important here, and they start studying it, and they make it a way of life. Those are the ones that will get the most lasting value out of a healing. So, principle, I've talked about the system and structure. We have to have structure in our life. We have to have system. We have to have a blueprint. That is the plan and design of love. We have to use the lubricant, which smooths everything out. There's an experience I read of in an article where a man and a wife were robbed, and they had such a fine sense of love in their heart and honesty that all the time the burglar was there, they were focusing on that. They weren't focusing on whatever he said, they weren't focusing on it. Whatever he did, they weren't focusing on it. And the man left, took all these things with him. And he came back with everything he took and apologized. He said, I have no idea what came over me, but it was wrong, and I'm really sorry. They feel that he had transformed his thought, and there was going to be improvement in the way he conducted himself. So we can either make our experience happen by having a godlike consciousness, or we can accept in a passive manner whatever is brought before us. I mentioned truth about consciousness. Motive. We have to have the right motive. We have to stick to the right path. And love is the wholeness, the completeness, the fulfillment. In other words, we have to nurture all of the qualities of God. We have to nurture the qualities of mind and spirit, soul, principle, life and truth, and the qualities of love itself. A pianist is not a pianist unless he's playing the piano. A tennis player is not a tennis player unless he's playing. A mason, you know, if he's not doing masonry work and building some beautiful concrete things or whatever, or structural things or whatever, a steel maker, a ditch digger, a homemaker, a businessman in any kind of business profession, it doesn't matter what it is you are doing, it is how you are doing it and how you're thinking about it and how you're thinking about all the people that are involved that are around you. That is the key to having the Christ consciousness. Forget about the little stuff. What is the thrust of what you're doing in your life? How are you doing it? Doesn't matter what the profession is, what the topic is. In fact, one of the key words, they're all key words, I keep saying key words, is method. How are we doing it? How are we living our life? Method. multiplies is another one. We want to make sure that what we multiply is the right thing. Everything we do, everything we think, everything we say is reflected out into the atmosphere of thought. What we are supposed to do is receive the thoughts we get, the angel messages from God, from the ideas, and reflect them out. We utilize them, and we should be reflecting them out. That's the multiplication process. It's like a website. You can have a website with 1 million people on it at one time. We can have many people receive the same thought. And each one can reflect it out in an individual nature. Utilize it in the way that is tailored for their needs and reflect it out. Intelligence, just take one word. Any word, any quality of God. And that same quality can be reflected, can be accepted and utilized by many people, everyone, literally, and each one reflected out in an individual way. They claim that there's no two people that have identical, absolutely identical voices. I don't know whether that's true, but I'm certainly not surprised. Everybody is individual, and we must respect that. Don't expect other people to be like we are. Be a real boring world. Life. What are we doing? Are we living the qualities? They're there. The tools are there. Wow. What did we do before we had the tools we have now? Think. No printing press, let alone electricity, computers, telephone, transportation. We have to use these tools. These tools show us that time and space can be overcome. That's how we should be using the tools to overcome the belief of limitation. God gives us an opportunity to express light. And we have to make sure that we realize and live the facts of the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Try substituting words such as matter and material in the scientific statement of being by replacing them with whatever the problem seems to be. If there's a problem that you want to address, strive to understand the power in that scientific statement of being. See what happens. You may have a pleasant surprise. we must know that there is nothing but God. Amen.